The worst has passed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The White House says on Monday's one-year anniversary of the Lehman Brothers collapse, President Obama will address Wall Street on Wall Street. Marketplace's John Dimsdale tells us the president's expected to reinforce his administration's predictions of economic recovery.
President Obama will tell Wall Street it's time for the government to start winding down its rescue efforts. That will echo the message from Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner yesterday. He told congressional watchdogs the stronger economy means banks no longer need injections of taxpayer money.
We are now in a position to start to adjust our strategy, moving from crisis response, from the emergency response to recovery, from rescuing the economy to repairing and rebuilding the financial system to repairing and rebuilding the foundations for future growth.
Geithner expects banks will be able to repay about half the money taxpayers have lent them within the next 12 to 18 months. But Geithner also warned, historically, financial rescues have ended too early. He said the government will continue to buy toxic assets held by banks. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And as the U.S. continues those rescue measures, the global cost of fighting the crisis is a little clearer today. The BBC has figured out the world's biggest economies have spent more than $10 trillion bailing out the system. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The BBC says that the G20 group of countries shelled out $10.8 trillion fighting financial meltdown. The U.S. spent the most overall, $3.6 trillion. That breaks down to $10,000 for every single American. Britain, with its much smaller economy, was proportionately harder hit. The UK's bailouts come to $50,000 per head. Much of the money was spent propping up the banks. As they pull out of trouble, government should get back most of the cash. But the BBC's figures highlight some long-term damage. A decade's worth of bank profits have been wiped out. Despite the more optimistic mood in Washington, it could be years before lending returns to previous levels and the leading economies fully recover. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Labor Department said a few minutes ago import prices spiked 2% in August as the cost of oil rose. That increase is twice what analysts were predicting. European stocks are up almost 1% this morning, and Asian markets were mostly higher today after China released some decent economic numbers. And Wall Street made it 5 up days in a row yesterday. The Dow rose 80 points to 9,627. Hundreds of day laborers and activists are swarming Capitol Hill today to push for immigration reform. They argue the economic crisis has meant growing abuse of illegal and also legal workers. Marketplace's Steve Henn has that.
Even during the construction boom, employers often ripped off undocumented day laborers. Nick Theodore studies the low-wage labor market at the University of Illinois. He says the collapse of the construction industry has made a bad situation worse.
The wage thresholds have begun to fall with the loss of work, and there's also been a rise in wage theft, the underpayment and non-payment of wages.
But now, he says, the abuses common in that underground economy are spilling into the whole low-wage labor market. In a study published this month, he found
68% of workers that we surveyed reported at least one violation of a major labor and employment law in the previous week. And it should be noted that we're not talking here about a few rogue employers or industries that are on the margins.
And Theodore says these abuses don't just happen to illegal immigrants anymore. They can affect anyone who has to take a low-wage job. He believes giving immigrants a legal right to work might help all workers protect their rights. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
May the best car win. That's the slogan for a new General Motors promotion that starts Monday. GM says if you don't like your new car or truck, you can return it within 31 to 60 days for a full refund. No questions asked. Return it for any reason.
The new car smell is wearing off.
Sure. We've all had that problem.
It just doesn't get along with my other car.
You should not have to deal with that.
This fuel-efficient car makes me look fat.
Oh, yeah. Been there, bro.
It won't float.
Like I said, any reason at all. The car just can't have more than 4,000 miles on it, and the driver has to be current on payments. The guarantee will cover purchases through the end of November.
Wow.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com.
Officials from the European Union will visit Zimbabwe this weekend. First trip of its kind since 2002, when Zimbabwe's economy was in a tailspin. The visit is seen as a new effort to normalize ties between Zimbabwe and the EU. Reporter Gretchen Wilson has more from Johannesburg.
The high-level European delegation will meet with President Robert Mugabe and his former rival, now Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, as well as other ministers in Zimbabwe's new coalition government. Zimbabwe's economy plummeted in the last decade under Mugabe's rule. There were also countless reports of human rights abuses by government officials. In response, the EU and the US imposed travel and business restrictions on Mugabe and his close aides. Now that there's a power-sharing government, African leaders want the West to lift all sanctions against Mugabe and his inner circle. They say it will help spark economic development. The EU delegation says that it will discuss normalizing ties with Zimbabwe, but the EU stresses that the visit doesn't necessarily mean it will lift sanctions. Officials say they first want to see progress in human rights reforms, respect for the rule of law, and more transparency in financial institutions. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
And finally, it's bad enough when Bernie Madoff's fraud cost you your house. It's got to be worse when you find out the person throwing parties in your former house is an executive of the bank that took it back. The Los Angeles Times reports that's happened to a Malibu couple. After they lost their $12 million beach house, a real estate agent reported Wells Fargo was turning down offers to show the property. And neighbors identified a Wells Fargo executive who they said was spending weekends there throwing lavish parties. Wells Fargo says its ethics code does not allow employees to make personal use of surrendered property, and it will investigate. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.